One of the things about having Netflix is, even if you didn't normally watch TV, you can get hooked. Everybody can get addicted and whatever. So I decided a while ago that I should get to be caught up with the cultural zeitgeist, and I decided to watch some of a program that's been over for quite a while. It's called Breaking Bad. Didn't watch much of it. Its premise is fairly simple. A man is diagnosed with terminal cancer. He's a high school chemistry teacher of some sort, and he decides that he better take care of his family between all of the extra expenses, but he really didn't have much ready to have his family live on after he died. So he works very hard to try to take care of his family. The only thing is he starts to make methamphetamines, meth, and to sell meth, this very, very addictive illegal drug. What a good intention, eh? What a good intention. And one would think an honorable intention to want to do the best for your family and to work very hard to do the best for your family. And yet, the actual work that he did was wrong, absolutely wrong. Anybody out there, all of you sort of go like this, you know, shaking your head. Maybe you had the same thing depending on your age when people saw the Godfather movies. They all worked very hard, eh, for the family, the family, the family. The difficulty is, of course, that we think we can be doing a good, or we don't want to think too much about it. In effect, we can be blind. How are we called then not to just stay in that blindness, but to come out of that blindness? And we see that a lot in our society. All kinds of people will do all kinds of things. They call things a certain name or they don't want to talk about it. You see that with abortion. You see that with the killing of the elderly in our own hospital right now with a nice, neat little name like MAID, you know, medical assistance in dying. That's not medical assistance in dying. It's killing people. It's not terminations of pregnancies. It's killing people. But people will stay in blindness. Why? Why? Because it's easy to stay in blindness. Unless, of course, we find ourselves in a situation where somehow it's possible to get out of things that we thought were impossible. And that's something that really, on a natural level, doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen. Oh, you might get a lucky break every now and then. But this idea of Jesus coming along to the man born blind was more than a lucky break. It was meant to show forth the power of God. And isn't that incredible? And it's a great story. It's a great story. John relates it in detail. It's got humor in it and the whole bit and everything else. And yet, it's meant for more than just humor. It's meant to say, do you see what can happen when God breaks into the life of a person, when God is able to shed his light in the light of a person, then nobody else is going to believe it. Nobody else is going to understand it because they're all looking for a natural explanation. Isn't that true? They're all sitting around going, well, either this guy that was born blind, we don't even know his name, either he's a liar or somebody's put it up or some charlatan is there or there's some natural explanation. It is God breaking in to that life of that person that we need to be able to look at. We need to be able to recognize something. God continually says to us, I am saying to you, I do not see as you see. Our view, our way of looking at life is so limited. Often enough, people all know the basic acronym TGIF, Thank God It's Friday. And why do people say that? Because I've just had to get through the week. Ever have that feeling? I've just got to get through this or get through that, and that's all there is to it. Boy, talk about having the blinders on just to get through it. Maybe that's what you need to get through that part of life. But that's not all of life. The world would have us say, don't worry about all the rest of it. Just get through. Don't worry about how God breaks into your life. Just get through. We see this very often with people who are not really active in their faith. You see it because people say, well, I've got so many other things to do. I can be so busy on Sunday morning or this or that or whatever. But we're called to say there's something else. All these last several weeks, we've been talking about how to reach out to our own people in our own family. And we just had our second night of the mission talking about search and rescue. That is speaking out of God to those people who are closest to us. Boy, that's tough stuff. It really is. You know, as our lay evangelist, Gail Clark, said last week, there's all kinds of reasons why people don't practice their faith. One can be ignorance. And not, I don't mean in terms of being an ignorant person. I mean in terms of not knowing. They just don't know. And that's very much the case. We heard Father Bill speak last week about a kid that knew about pot but didn't know what Lent was. Right? And we have people who are not giving out that information to their children, expecting them to pick it up from the air. People can be very ignorant of the realities of God. People, too, can be necessarily, enmeshed in their sins. That's what we heard in the second reading. They see what they want, and they don't want to let that go, because it means that they would have to change all the rest of the views of their life. But I'd like to speak to you about something else. I'd like to speak to you about those people that are not just indifferent, but they don't want to hear about it from you, So say, Mom, don't talk to me about that. I call it the hand problem, just speak to the hand. Don't nag me. Don't talk to me about God. Don't speak to me, right? Because I know what you're going to say. And I see a lot of people nodding, right? The problem, of course, is that if we're just stuck with that, we say, geez, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. How am I supposed to speak to somebody if all I'm hitting is this wall, this hand? We're called to speak in a different way. You paid a lot of money for myself and Father Eric and Father Bill to go to the seminary. You're not supposed to be like us. You're not supposed to have every answer on the tip of your fingers. It's great if you can. It's really great if you can. But, it's not meant for everybody to take all those years of your life and study philosophy and theology. So what has God given you to study? God has given you His experience. How has God been active in your life? When you're called, not just before the Pharisees, when you're called before a far harsher tribunal, the tribunal of your own family, of your friends, how has God been active in your own life? Because that's what we're called to speak of. It really is. We're called to speak about how Christ has been active in my life this week, last month, in my life in general. And you don't have to have, as here in the gospel, some great drama. Most of us, thank God, we don't live in great drama, right? We couldn't stand it if we did. We did. We are called instead to say, this is how God has worked for me. And here's why that gets around the hand problem. Because your experience of God is just as valid as anybody else's experience. And all of us want to be able to share experiences. We love to hear stories. Isn't that true? Tell us a story, the little kids will say to us. And we exchange stories all the time. Look at the construction, or sometimes I feel the destruction of the church here. There's a story there behind all these decorations. Maybe we might know of it, and maybe not. But we share those stories. And those stories are the stories of our experience. Are you willing to share the story of your experience? That's what it is. People get all bent out of shape over witness and testimony. But really what it is we talk to the people about things that are important to us. We talk to the people that are perhaps at a further extent, but we talk to people who are close to us. This is how God has been active in my life today. That's what we share. And it's not a question of how well it's accepted or not. It's just as valid, your experience, as anybody's experience. So how has God been active in your life in the last week? How is it that you see things differently than people who don't have faith, or who don't have faith at least at this time? That's what the first reading's about. So Saul is sent out by God to anoint a new king, and he goes to the family that he's been sent to, and he looks, he says, wow, there's some pretty good prospects here. He looks at Eli, there's a leader of men. We're talking about a warrior age, a big, strong guy, experienced. He'd probably been battle-hardened, but the Lord said, that's not him, and not the next son, or the next son, and the next son, and he goes right down the line. As a sixth son, I think that's a good thing, but he goes right down the line. And finally they said, well, there's no other choice. Ever feel like that? God says, go do something. You say, what am I supposed to do? I'm running out of options. I'm running out of choices. And he's told, go and see this child. And he was only a teenage boy. He hadn't shaved. Hey, go and see this boy. This is the one on whom the favor of God will rest. And he anoints David, who is just a shepherd boy. That's why we sang the hymn that we did when we came in. It was just a shepherd. Because God sees in a different way than man sees. God sees you. And he says, you are the one that I have sent to the people around you. You are the one that I've sent to your family. The reason I've given this family, these children, these grandchildren, these in-laws, these friends, the reason I've given them to you is because you are the one that I've sent to speak of God. And okay, you don't have to have all the theological distinctions, but you have the experience of God. Look back at that story in the gospel. When he's asked about this or about that, how did this happen? How did that happen? He said, I don't know how it happened, but it happened. It happened. He had the full story And then you could hear the man who had been born blind's frustration building. Okay, so we did this and this and this and this. And then he asked him again, well, he did this and this. And in the end he said, this is what I know. He cured me of my blindness. You may have somebody that's willing to listen to every detail sitting down there at Tim Hortons or across your kitchen table or beside you at the locker in the high school. Or you may have somebody who just wants to hear the one line. Whatever it is, we are called to speak of the truth of God. And we're called to speak of it for a very simple reason. We're called to speak of it because then the action of God is up to God. I cannot change your heart. And you can't change the heart of the other people around you. A spouse, your child, your grandchildren, your friends. You can't. But God can use you to change those hearts. God can use you to see what looks to be impossible, to see the very light of Christ himself, and to take the ordinary things of life. It doesn't come much more ordinary than spitting on the ground and making mud and putting mud on somebody's eyes. What a graphic detail. I'm ordinary, and you're ordinary. God will take the ordinary things and do extraordinary things with them. It doesn't come much more ordinary than bread and wine, and yet in each and every Eucharist, God takes these ordinary things and does extraordinary things with them. It becomes his body and blood, the very soul and divinity to feed us. He takes ordinary people, you, by the grace of your baptism and then consecrated further in your confirmation to do extraordinary things, to be able to rip away the blindness of the hearts of those to whom we are called. That is what God promises us, and that is how he works when we work with God.